It seems like just a few short days ago that we were here blessing students and teachers as they were about to enter and begin a new school year. And my, how appropriate does it feel that we already have a day off coming tomorrow, right? Somehow getting back into the routine, the tasks, the to-do list, the homework, the other things that take our attention during the week. Somehow we probably already feel like we're under pressure to get so many things done on our list with our precious few moments of free time. So while I hope that this weekend and the holiday that comes with it is a chance for you to rest, given starting back to your routines this week, we also hope that this hour of worship is a way for you to rest in the presence that is God and that is one another. My name is Alan Smith. I serve here as our minister to students, and it is my joy and privilege to welcome you to worship this morning. I hope you'll notice the friendship pads that are seated on the pews in front of you. We do invite you to take these and pass them down the pew. We hope this gives you an opportunity to learn the names of the people worshiping around you this morning. There's also a connection card in those folders. And if there's anything that you would like to communicate with us as a church staff, we do invite you to complete it on that communication card and drop it in the offering plate when it comes by later in the service. Again, we're so glad that you are here for worship with us this morning. And now let us stand together as we sing.
Let's stand. All of creation has been busy this morning doing the very thing it was created to do. And that is what I believe is lift its voice to its creator, praising God because it was created to do such a thing. So we have now the opportunity to join our voice with all of creation in doing that. All creatures of our God and King, alleluia, alleluia. Let's sing. We got a couple songs we'll sing here at the beginning, so don't close your hymnal after song one, and let's lift our voice together. Let's sing.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice with us, sing. Alleluia, alleluia, thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with silver gleam. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him, alleluia. Rushing wind, thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along. Oh, praise Him, alleluia, thou rising morning, praise rejoice. He lights the beaming kind of voice. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him, alleluia.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
pause for a moment of prayer. Creating God, you are the source of summer splendor, the beauty and fragrance of delicate flowers and sweet sound of birdsong. We come to you this morning with delight and gladness, grateful for all your wonders. As the fields produce their harvest, may your love grow within us, that we too may produce a harvest of love, hope, and joy. And we join with all creation to glorify your name. Amen. Amen. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. Would you go there with us? 105. Sing this out.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am.
Lord Jehovah.
Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him.
And he is Lord of heaven.
And he is Lord of heaven. Lord of earth. He is Lord of all creation. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to him.
Sing it out, hallelujah to the King.
And hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's everybody doing? Excellent, excellent. Well, I have a question that probably you have been asked about 1,000 times this week. It's a kind of get to know you question. Has anybody asked you this week what you want to be when you grow up? Did you have to, like, when you go into your new classroom and you fill out, like, your family information, or maybe there's a picture where you talk about what you like to do and that kind of thing. Did anybody ever ask you what you want to be when you grow up? Has anybody ever asked you that question? Yeah. What are some, would you share with me some of the things you want to be when you grow up? Does anybody, what, Summer? A police officer, that would be great. Anybody else? What? A gymnastics police officer. I like it. I like it. Well, I will just tell you that when I was very young, I wanted to be a grocery store checkout girl. And it was before you could scan the items. I wanted to punch all the numbers in the machine. I really liked that. And then I grew up a little bit, and I wanted to be a physical therapist. And then I thought about being a lawyer. I even had one idea that I might could be a paleontologist and dig and look at fossils and rocks and things like that. But I became a minister. And so one of the things that we learn, right, is that as we learn and as we develop and as we figure out things we're interested in and passionate about, that things change about what you want to be. And even as adults, you can decide to be something and do an occupation over here, and then you can change that too, because we're always learning and we're always growing. In the Bible, in Acts chapter 18, it tells us that the Apostle Paul, now the Apostle Paul was a person who was very important in helping to found the church, right? It tells us that the Apostle Paul made tents. He made tents with his friends Priscilla and Aquila. And they would sew tents and sell them, and then those people would Because not everybody lived in a house back then, right? Some people lived in tents. They would move and change depending on what people were trading or what their crops were doing or what their animals needed to do. So the tent makers were very important. Paul was a tent maker. But I think if you asked Paul who he was, he would not say, "I am Paul, a tent maker." He would say, "I am Paul, a follower of Jesus Christ." And if you ask Priscilla and Aquila, "What are you?" They would say, "We are followers of Jesus Christ." So no matter what you do to make money in this life, you are more than what you produce. You are a child of God. You are a follower of Jesus. And no matter how you express that as you grow up, no matter what you do for money, you can always be a follower of Jesus, just like Paul and just like the people who founded the church. Let's pray together. Help us, dear God, to remind us, help us and remind us that we are more than what we produce or earn our living by. We are your beloved children. We are bestowed with grace and mercy and love and strength and courage because we are yours. Help us to live into our identity as followers of the way. And we pray in the name of the Christ. Amen.
From the 45th Psalm, my heart overflows with a goodly theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. You are the most handsome of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. And then again in verse 6, your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. Your royal scepter is a scepter of equity. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Your robes are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold Ophir. Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, we come this morning with hearts of gladness, praising you for your beautiful creation, and in thanksgiving for all that you have given to us. We are thankful for life-giving rain, for the stillness of a quiet morning, the laughter of children, and the gift of friends and family. We confess that we also come to you with worried and troubled hearts, all the while knowing that you already know the burdens that we carry with us each and every day. For those who are sick or injured, we pray for healing and for strength. For those who care for them, we pray for patience. For those who deal daily with an illness who no one can see, yet makes the daily tasks of living a struggle, we pray for endurance, and we pray for understanding for those around them. God, there are many in our world and in our very neighborhood who hunger for food and clothing and a safe place to live and simply someone to love them. For these, we pray not only that their needs be met, but that you might also show us how to help feed them and how to help clothe them, how to help them get shelter, and how to be your arms of love. For families and individuals who long each day for peace, We pray for that peace, that it might be found. We pray that forgiveness might be shared and that love might dwell in places where pain and hurt used to reside. For our church, we pray for patience and guidance and trust as we prepare ourselves for the next chapter in Greystone's life and for our next pastor. We know that you know our hearts. You know our prayers, and you hear them. May we rest in the assurance of grace and love that you so freely give. In your name we pray. Amen.
Lord, as we seek to be doers of the word and not forgetful hearers, let us do by giving freely and gladly of our tithes and offerings. Give us the vision to continue our giving by giving of ourselves in the ministry of the church and in our community. Amen.
Thank you.
Our scripture lesson comes from the letter of James. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness. Another translation says spoiled virtues. So that the implanted word that has the power to save your soul will be present. Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: care for the orphans and widows in their distress. Keep oneself unstained by the world. May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson. Thanks be to God. Come, thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to see thy grace.
Well, I trust you've had a good week. One of the highlights for myself was sitting down on the sofa Monday evening and tuning my TV to NBC to catch the Las Vegas finals of American Ninja Warrior. I'm sure there's some of you who are familiar with it. I had a reason to watch. My friend Booty was, I thought, going to be on the episode. It turns out I finally figured out by the end they actually do it in a couple of weeks. So NBC did it. They wrote me in. I'm now going to watch a second episode of these finals tomorrow night because I didn't get to see Booty yet. But that did leave me to watch and observe 2 hours of this show, one I'm sure many of you are familiar with, and it made me familiar with so many of the stories of the various competitors. We learned, well, maybe not we, some of you may have known this. I learned, because I don't watch the show all the time, only when I hear through the rumor mill of when my friend will be on TV. I learned that, for example, there's a team where one guy is from Alaska and another is from Hawaii, and they train together throughout the year. Or the worship leader from Houston, I believe his name is Daniel Gill, who trains with a young teenager they now call the kid throughout the year. And they had these video montages of these people working so hard throughout the year, getting ready for just these short runs on the course, especially now that they'd made it into the finals. And so I guess somewhere in there is how it hit me that these competitors, these athletes on American Ninja Warrior, are under an immense amount of pressure. You see, by now they've gotten to the final course. It's all the best competitors from around the country. And they had 2 minutes and 25 seconds to make it through a series of obstacles without falling into the water. All this time spent all year, all this time spent developing body control, strength, agility, all the skills necessary to jump through tires, climb over water, all the different things that they might find as obstacles. 2 minutes, 25 seconds. And if you happen to fall during that 2 minutes, well, that's it. I mean, talk about pressure. It was actually sad, even stressful for me to watch, because you could see the disappointment on the faces of the athletes that fell and were eliminated. All their hard work, all their energy, all their time, all over with the snap of a finger, or in most cases, the slip of a foot. You see, being under pressure, being anxious, it seems to make us do things we might not normally do. It seems to make us do things that, and even lose sight of who we are. For the folks on American Ninja Warrior, they were slipping and falling from the course. Even some people who've completed it through this final course so many times in the past. I don't know what it was for them. Maybe it was the bright lights of the TV. Maybe it was the friends and family or the other competitors watching. Maybe it was simply the pressure of knowing this is the finals. This is what we've worked for. The point is, being under pressure is tough and it is stressful. And sometimes it makes us do things we wouldn't do otherwise. So this morning we read from the letter of James, a letter that we'll be studying in worship through the month of September. And these are words that might be familiar to you. They're words that maybe you've even heard before. Hear them again. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Don't know how I do with that. Or be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Okay. Or, if any think they are religious, but do not bridle their tongues, but instead deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Well, I guess I can only speak for myself. I certainly won't try to project what any of you might be thinking, but I'll admit, hearing those words from the letter of James tugs at my heart, tugs at my conscience, makes me feel like maybe I'm not quite living up. Maybe I'm feeling the pressure a little bit of what it means to be a follower of Christ. You see, suddenly competing in the Las Vegas finals of American Ninja Warrior doesn't seem that intimidating. I am just all too aware of how the words we hear from James, they don't do the best job of describing how I live. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Well, I hear that, and the first thing I think about is the people that don't seem to know how to merge lanes on the highway and get in my way when I'm going places, or the way that little bits of technology that we've become so accustomed to having in our homes might stop working for a few minutes, and that gets really irritating when you're trying to use them for a specific reason. So, I mean, that's just me, and that's just a couple of examples from yesterday afternoon. I'm sure many of you have examples where slow to speak, quick to listen. We see, we can't even keep it straight because we don't live this way. Be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. We're finally getting this scripture verse, which is going to let everyone else know how hypocritical they, wait a second, are. Because we are human like everybody else, and we hear the words, be doers of the word, not just hearers, and we think, well, isn't there a little bit more I could be doing? Isn't there some other way that I could share God's love with those around me? Of course there is. If anything, they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. I guess by now we've gotten the point, but if not, just imagine any time you've struggled to forgive someone, quickly forgetting how often God has forgiven you. So yes, I admit it, maybe you do too. These verses make us feel like we're under pressure a little bit. The spotlight is on us. We may not be living or acting or doing the things that we wish we were. And I think what we realize is that we can understand the struggles of the early church, the struggles that the people reading James's letter a couple thousand years ago may have been experiencing, the struggle between the tension of being both in the world but also in the church, and trying to navigate that tension. And of course, the other thing about pressure, one of the big challenges about being under pressure or dealing with anxiety, is that we have this need to control it. We have this need to try to come up with a plan to manage through our anxiety, to figure out how to make it so we don't feel under pressure, because we have some elaborate, foolproof plan to get through whatever it is that is causing us stress. You see, just like, again, these competitors on American Ninja Warrior, they have probably looked at the course, they have mapped out in their head, I'll put my foot here, I'll put my hand here, this is how it will go, just to try to manage their stress as they enter the course. Of course, they still fall, right? Imagine being in high school. For some of you, it's a pretty easy thing to imagine, because that's where you are. And as you are at that age, you are told, make sure to do A, B, and C. You've got to have a wonderful application if you want to go to college. It's the most important thing, right? You hear it earlier and earlier these days. And so if that were you, what would you do? You probably started by signing up for as many honors and advanced placement courses as you can find. And then once you find yourself in those courses, you make sure to do 15 to 20 hours of homework a night, regardless of how many hours you spend eating, sleeping, and in the classes, because you have to do the best that you possibly can, or else, I guess that's just what they leave it at. You sign up for all the clubs, all the extracurricular activities, all the sports, anything that you can get your hands around, because you've been told a well-rounded application is what will distinguish you when you're applying to college. And then you find yourself being in leadership positions in any of these activities, because, of course, leadership will also help distinguish you, right? So how's the stress level now? Do you feel like you've managed through it at all? Do you feel like you have come up with a plan to help mitigate feeling under pressure? See, I think we all deal with being under pressure by trying to develop some sort of complexity, some sort of solution that we think will help us to deal with what faces us. We come up with complex solutions all in an attempt to control the anxiety that surrounds us. So just like the high school student who pushes and pushes and pushes, but ultimately might look back and say, I think I've lost sight of who I am. I think for all of us that's the case. Anxiety can so quickly make us lose sight of who we are. And how helpful are any of these plans anyway? How exactly do we do at managing this pressure? Okay, so here we are this morning. We're reading James. We're probably already thinking about, well, here's a way I can be a better doer of the word this week. Here's a way that my religion will be more pure and undefiled and less worthless. If you're thinking that, great. I can't wait for you to come tell me next week all the ways you've become better at being a doer of the word. I do look forward to hearing about it, but sorry if I'm a little bit skeptical. Sorry if I think all these plans, all this complexity, all this interest in coming up with a way of being better at these things, of mitigating the pressure, just doesn't always hold up. And the other thing is, this feeling of being under pressure, the stress that we find ourselves in, even reading these verses of James, it's not just an individual issue, is it? I'm confident that the institution that feels the most under pressure in our culture today is right here, Greystone Baptist Church. Well, okay, I'm not picking on us, any church. Wherever it is that you find yourself worshiping on Sundays. I mean, let's be honest, churches hearing these verses, I'm sure churches themselves are thinking, well, how are we as a community of faith doing it, being quick to listen and slow to speak? Or how are we as a community of faith doing it, being doers of the word? Is our religion worthless? We've all heard statistics. I think we even heard one here in our pulpit several months ago. What is it? Something like 17% of people attend church on a Sunday. I'm sure for many of you that sounds unbelievable. You go, there's no way in my lifetime I would have ever imagined that being true. There's probably others who go, 17, hey, we're not as bad off as I thought. But we see it. Less and less people attend every Sunday. Less and less money is given when the plate is passed. Less and less people are willing to accept the many leadership and volunteer positions that it takes for church to happen. So yes, I think even churches are under pressure. Without us even discussing some of the scandals, some of the things that have even rocked our world related to churches in recent weeks. And I think even we as a church are prone to respond to being under pressure the same way many of you would as individuals. We feel the burden of needing to be the ones who fix it. We feel the burden of trying to come up with the next great elaborate plan to turn things around, to turn the momentum, to change the shifting trends in our culture. All good intentions, of course. Think for a moment. Does this resonate with any of you? You don't have to raise your hands, but just think. Can you think of anything going through your head where you say, this is the next great idea. If we would just do this, I think I have the magic fix. You know, if we would just sing different types of music during our worship services, or if we would just study these books in our book studies, or books by these authors or on these topics, or if our youth or our children would go here for camp, or this retreat center, or have this type of Bible study. Listen, please don't get me wrong. None of these are bad ideas. But I think we all know they're probably not the magic fixes that we might hope that they are. So let's turn and read again those words from verse 27 that we heard moments ago. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and for widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. It's kind of funny, right? It actually seems pretty simple. Yet I think so many churches seem to be missing the point. We're called to care for the orphans and widows. What is it that James might be getting at? Remember back to first century Israel when this may have been written. Remember, who might have been more vulnerable than the orphans and the widows? Probably nobody. Remember, it was a culture where men took care of their families. So who would have taken care of orphans and widows? You see, I believe God is calling us Christians, churches in general, to love those who are in most need in our society. To welcome the lost, to love the outcast, to befriend the lonely. So as we reflect on that, let's also pay attention to what was not written. Remember, it didn't say, religion that is pure and undefiled is this, that you would have several worship services a week, all with thousands of people. No, it's not what it says. Or, religion that is pure and undefiled is this, that you would have people being baptized and rebaptized on a weekly basis, professing. No, that's not it either. Again, these are not bad things. Please don't misunderstand, but the point is that we are being called to simply loving others. The point is that we not get caught up chasing the next bigger and better program, that we not get caught up with some elaborate plan, that we not feel the burden of what is it that we need to do so that we don't feel like we're under pressure. For when we do that, we quickly lose sight of who we are. We quickly lose sight of what it means to be the church. Stanley Hauerwas is a longtime professor of Christian ethics. And one of his often made points is that the role of the church is to be the church. It might sound like circular logic, right? Like what? Okay, a square is a square, a rectangle is, you know. The role of the church is to be the church. You see, remember, there is this tension we live in between the church and the world, and in many ways, the church should and does offer a different perspective of what our life is about, as does the rest of the world around us. So when Hauerwas calls on the church to be the church, what he's saying is the church is a place where loving community is formed. It's a place which reminds people that they all are children of God, that they are all beloved. It's a place that calls on people to welcome the lost, to love the outcast, to befriend the lonely. It's a place that reminds people who they are and whose they are. It's a place that stands out and stands apart from the world because it's so different than the world. It's not about something that's bigger and better. It's about the love of God and the love of others. You see, it's so easy to make religion about ourselves, but we are called to make religion about others, about the other that God loves, and about the other that God calls us to love. So maybe that does sound too simple, but simple is exactly the point. So is being under pressure bad? Absolutely not. In fact, many of the competitors on American Ninja Warrior have only been able to accomplish the things that they have because of the pressure that comes with pushing themselves, including my 49-year-old, 106-pound friend, Booty. But what matters is how we react to the pressure that's in front of us. Do we become so focused on the pressure that we lose sight of who we are? Do we lose sight of to whom we are called to love and serve? So yes, churches are under pressure around us. And in some ways, this is as much true for ourselves as it is for anyone. So our question this morning is, how might we respond to the pressure that we might feel as a community of faith? And let me suggest that we respond with simplicity. Responding to feeling under pressure by loving God and also loving others. Because somehow, I imagine that if we continue to discover what it means to be church together, if we continue to discover church together, we might find that we're not under that much pressure after all. Amen. Part of what it means to be church is to respond and to celebrate the activity of God, the ongoing presence of God in our lives. And that is the invitation for you this morning, to respond as the presence of God is calling you. If you'd like to discover church together with this community of faith, the invitation is open to either join in this community of faith or even to make your own profession of faith in Jesus as Lord. Whatever it may be, let us respond together as we stand to sing. The peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Please turn and share the peace of Christ with one another.
Well, if any of you have spent any time outdoors watching football, say, over the last couple days, you know that summer is still in full swing. But we, as this church community, are moving forward into a new fall season. We're already anticipating the weeks and months ahead, and we kicked that off even this Wednesday. So even in light of all the heat, we are moving into our fall. That begins Wednesday night. 5:30 is our meal time. And then shortly after that, we have programming for kids of the youngest age all the way up to adults. So make sure to join us there on Wednesday night. If you are going to be eating, they like to have reservations for that in by noon on Monday. That's only tomorrow, so be thinking ahead on that. And now a little exercise here. Turn to your neighbor and say, you could sing in the choir. Some of y'all got too many laughs over that. That was more of a serious thing. But I do want to give a personal and enthusiastic invitation. In a week and a half, a week from this Wednesday, we kick off our fall season in the choir. And we want you to consider taking up the mantle of helping lead this community in worship. So this might be a first time for you, or maybe you used to sing in the choir, or have been for a long time, but have done some other things lately. We want everyone to feel invited on Wednesday night, September 12th, to come. We'll have some door prizes, some goodies to eat, some fun time, festive music to sing through. So even if you just want to come and sit and say, what does the choir do? We want to go ahead and tear down the curtain on that and allow you to come and sit. So please feel invited. Come to ask me about questions regarding choir, or just show up at 7:15 on the 12th. Last but not least, we have a very important Sunday coming up in the life of our church, Heritage Sunday. That is 1 week from today. We have both services that morning, but following the later service, the 11 o'clock service, we'll meet for lunch. We'll gather around the tables. We need your help with that, to bring your favorite dish, side dish. And today would be the last day to go ahead and put your name down for that. If you can go ahead and think ahead, there's a sign-up sheet right out here in the hallway on the table. So please, please, please be thinking ahead about next Sunday, Heritage Sunday lunch. That sign-up sheet's out there. And I think that's all I have. Alan, Amy? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, may we go out singing, and maybe our response can be that refrain we just sang. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. Let's go out making this commitment.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.